Join me in prayer. Father, as we come to you, we've just sung these words. The Psalms call us to taste and see that the Lord is good. And for those who only have eyes on this world, we often complain and we're grumpy and we are unsatisfied. But when we taste and see that the Lord is good, you satisfy our souls. And we can sing, we can worship, and we can say the goodness of Jesus satisfied. He's all that I need. We count it all as loss compared to the surpassing greatness of Christ Jesus our Lord. We humbly bow in grateful, satisfied worship. Receive our praise in the strong and the compassionate and the glorious name of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Savior. We pray. Amen. Thank you for leading us in worship. If you have a preaching schedule, you saw this when you came in, I'd like you to take it right now. Maybe we can ask our ushers at the back or a hospitality team if they could grab one of these. Curtis, you want to just pop out and just ask them if they would? Perfect. If anybody needs one, just raise your hand. We'd like you to have one. This is great. If you have one, why don't you follow along with me? You can see, again, that all the highlighted green bars are the Sundays that we are planning, Lord willing, to share communion together. Now, as we consider this and look to the fall, you can pray for the leadership of the church. We're considering having communion more often, that every service we would declare the gospel as we remember what the Lord has done. But for the summer, you can see these are the highlighted Sundays that we will share communion together on the green bar that runs across. Now on May the 14th, the reason I want you to have this, on May 14th, you can see it's pink because it's Mother's Day. But not only is it Mother's Day, it is also our 135th anniversary for First Baptist Church, Calgary. First Baptist Church was started on May the 15th, and we just can't wait till Monday. So unfortunately, it's a day early, but we're going to celebrate over both days is what I'm going to do. I'm going to go fishing to celebrate on the Monday probably. First Baptist Church was started with 7 members on May the 15th, 1888, at a time when the city of Calgary had only 500 people in it. So to say First Baptist is a very good name for our church. We want to worship the Lord together, knowing that it is God who has built this church. And over all these years, we stand on the shoulders and carry on the work of the gospel in the city of those who have gone before us. So with humility and with joy, with love for the Lord, we want to celebrate on that Sunday, May the 14th. Then we want to go back into the Old Testament. And Pastor Sean alluded to this, that as we've been reading through the books, Pastor Sean has been leading us. We read a book in the New Testament, and then we go to the Old Testament and back and forth. And we want to do this in our preaching over the summer. You can see there's 5 sermons on Psalms in the weeks that follow for May and June. On June 25th, Pastor Sean will preach on June 18th. And then on June 25th, Jay Hildebrand is going to preach. Now, I'm not sure if you know this or not, but Jay is currently taking seminary part-time, working on a master's degree. He has a desire to serve the Lord as a pastor, and we would pray with him that that would be realized according to God's will. But he is going to preach here. He's a member of our board on June the 25th. And then you'll notice on July 2nd to 30th, every one of those Sundays, Pastor Elroy is going to preach 5 sermons from the book of Genesis. Now, it's only 3 chapters, so I think he's going to take the themes that run through those books, and you'll have to come and see what that is. The reason he is preaching for the entire month of July is on April, the very beginning of April this year, was the conclusion of 6 years that I have been the lead pastor here at First Baptist Church on April the 1st. And what the church has done is the church is giving me a sabbatical for that entire month of July. And it is kind of a sabbatical of Genesis, the rest, because Elroy is going to be preaching. What I want to do with my sabbatical, and I love how we've done this. We, instead of putting it all into one time, the basic sabbatical plan for the church is that after 5 years, you would have 1 month sabbatical in the summer months. After 7 years, you'd have 2 months. After 10 years, you'd have 3 months. So we want to spread it out and thank the Lord that we have each of our pastors is able to preach faithfully. So what I'm hoping to do on that sabbatical is to spend time for an entire month studying all the passages that talk about the renewing of our mind. And by God's grace, I am hoping to be able to produce a little mini booklet at the end that calls for this very thing. So look at the month of August. 3 sermons. And there probably are going to be more that will come out of it. But I know this will be good in my life. That a sabbatical is not just to stop working or stop doing anything. It's to find soul renewal and the renewing of our minds. And so I want to ask you to pray for me during that time. And I'm hoping, instead of just giving a sabbatical report, which I likely will do as well on August the 6th, but to actually teach some of the things God has taught me, you can see that it's the same title for every sermon with a different emphasis. The renewing of the mind is actually transformed Christ-like obedience. And you will be able to see that in those passages. The reason we do this is we want you to read ahead and to pray and to come prepared for what God will teach you on each of these Sundays, Lord willing. I want to invite you to take your Bibles and turn to the very last 4 verses of the book of Ephesians. We'll finish the book of Ephesians this morning. And I feel both sadness and gratefulness. I'm sad to be leaving Ephesians. We've been here for more than a year. We started in January of 2022. And I have learned so much, as we all have. I thank God that he is not silent. He doesn't leave us to our own designs and opinions, that God is present and he is not silent. He is speaking in his word. I thank God for the book of Ephesians that has taught us so much about who God is and the grace that we find in Jesus Christ and what he's done for us. This morning we're looking at the last 4 verses, and there's 2 basic ideas. Paul is wrapping up the letter, but he's talking about the ministry that he has. He does 2 things, 2 verses each for 2 ideas. The first is he's giving a ministry report through Tychicus, who's likely carrying the letter and bringing it to Ephesus. That's verse 21 and 22. And then he gives a ministry blessing. Some of the commentaries I read this week said it was a prayer. It's his prayerful desire for this church. But it is very clearly a blessing in verse 23 and 24. So let me pray, and then we'll look at these verses quickly together. Father, thank you that you are not silent. I thank you that as we come, we gather around Scripture, around your word. I thank you that the Apostle Paul was in prison. Thank you for your grace that by your Spirit he penned these words under great suffering so that we would have your very word even today. Thank you for Ephesians that has revealed to us your grace beyond our deserving understanding, and yet we walk in it. I pray, Lord, that this would be a word for us this morning on this historic day as we consider what it means for us as a church to please you in every way in our AGM. Would you speak, Lord? Your servants are listening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hear the word of the Lord in Ephesians 6, the last four verses of this glorious book. Verse 21. So that you also may know how I am and what I am doing, Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will tell you everything. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage your hearts. Peace be to the brothers and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with love incorruptible. The reason I call it a ministry report is here Paul is sending Tychicus to this church in Ephesus. And look how he describes him. Do you see it in verse 21? He's described as a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord. So Paul actually sees him as somebody who he can send, who was a faithful minister with the Apostle Paul where he was. Now, most scholars believe that these prison letters, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians, likely Galatians as well, is written from Rome while Paul was in prison. We know this. We've seen this in Ephesians over the last year. Just flip over to chapter 3, verse 1. For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus. I love how he says that. He's not just a prisoner of Rome. No, he's a prisoner there because he's a prisoner of Christ Jesus. And he understands that there is a purpose, and he's there on behalf of you Gentiles, assuming that you heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me. Look at verse 7 in chapter 3. Of this gospel, I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace. Paul understands his ministry. He's made a minister by God's grace, and he's in prison. And he writes this letter, and his ministry doesn't stop just because he's in prison. Look at chapter 4, verse 1. I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord. He's a prisoner of the Lord in chapter 3. He's a prisoner for the Lord in chapter 4. What an incredible description. I urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. Paul understands he's been called to this. And he writes to this church, though they are not in prison, they have a calling. And he's very clear. So Paul is sending Tychicus in chapter 6 as a ministry partner. And not only is he a ministry partner, but he describes him as a faithful minister. Not just a faithful minister of the Apostle Paul. Do you see it in verse 21? No, he's a faithful minister in the Lord. Because Paul understands he's a prisoner of the Lord and he's a prisoner for the Lord. And here he has Tychicus with him in the ministry that God has given him and called him to. It's the same in all these letters. And Philippians and Colossians, just flip over the page or just look across the page. In my Bible, it's on the same page, just on the right-hand side. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 7. It is right for me to feel this way about you all, to the Philippian Christians, because I hold you in my heart, for you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and defense and confirmation of the gospel. Paul understands that in prison he's defending and confirming the gospel. Look at verse 12. I want you to know, brothers, he's writing to the whole church as he calls them brothers. He likes to do this. He calls it the brethren, the brothers of God. Verse 12, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers have become confident in the Lord by imprisonment, is much more bold to speak the word without fear. All these that are with him are in ministry with him. Tychicus is one of them. He's sending Tychicus to this church so that he will give a ministry report. This is what we've been doing. In fact, look at the very end of Philippians. It's just over a page. The very last few verses, Philippians 4, greet each saint or every saint in Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, especially those of Caesar's household. See, it's the imperial guard, the praetorium guard, those who are the palace guard of Caesar. And Paul doesn't just sit there and complain. In fact, in none of the prison letters does he pray for his release. He prays that the gospel will advance, and it does. It makes its way right into Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. That's how he ends Philippians. So we see this, first of all, as a ministry report. Perfect for an annual general meeting. What is he doing in this ministry report? There's two things that he reports. Do you see it in verse 21? So that you will know how I am and what I'm doing. Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will tell you everything. Two things, how Paul is. It is amazing if you read the book of Philippians. I rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord greatly. Not in his situation. He finds his joy in the Lord. Paul is encouraged. He's strengthened to live as Christ, to die as gain. All these descriptions he has in these prison letters is that he is trusting the Lord even in suffering. In fact, look at chapter 3, verse 13. So I ask you not to lose heart over what I'm suffering for you, which is for your glory. See, he's given this ministry report of how he is doing as a minister, and then he says, what I am doing. So that as we come and we see what is God doing in our lives, we can see this in the book of Acts as well. Paul is under house arrest in Rome, and it says at the very last two verses in the book of Acts, he lived there two whole years at his own expense. He welcomed all who came to him, proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness without hindrance. I think this is what Tychicus was telling them he was doing. I'll tell you what Paul is doing. He's preaching God's word to anybody who will listen. And he is doing fine. He's not praying you get him out of prison. He's praying that the gospel will break its way right into Caesar's household. And then it does. And what is his purpose? Do you see it in verse 22? So that you may be encouraged. And what is amazing is he repeats the idea, but he doesn't just talk about himself. He says at the end, and I've sent him to you for this very purpose so that you may know how we are. It's not just the Apostle Paul. It's all those that are with him in ministry. That you would know how we are. And you would take encouragement and strength from this because God is working. If I gave you a microphone right now, wherever you are sitting around this room, for those of you who have been walking with us, active members, only active members can vote and speak to these issues because active members are here and present and engaged and praying. Beloved brothers, who are faithful ministers. And look what he says. So that you'll know how we are. If I gave you a microphone, what would you say? Would you say, what is the thing that encouraged your heart? You see what God is doing among us. Where is your heart? Do you find your encouragement in the Lord? Do you look at those who are the faithful ministers in our church, both on our board, ministering in our women's ministry, our men's ministry, all over this church? Can you look at them and say, I love them. They're my beloved brother and sister. It's for our encouragement. And so we give an annual report. We've written a book. We've shared the things we're excited about. The defining moment of 2022 was that we joined two churches that came together as one and to see God's good, loving work among us. What a beautiful picture of how God is working. And we've only just begun. I truly believe our best days are ahead of us. And that's where he goes next. See, he gives a ministry report, but look at the last two verses. If it is a prayer, he's praying this for them. If it is a blessing, it's his desire that God would do this work among them. Look how he says, "Peace be to the brothers." This is exactly like the end of Philippians. He's basically saying, all those that are with me, even from Caesar's household, are sending their greeting to you. This blessing over the whole church. He's saying, peace be to the church in Ephesus. And then he adds love. I think he's not just saying all three. He's not just saying peace, love, and faith. Because he's directly saying peace and love with faith. Do you see it in verse 23? Peace be to the brothers and love. Peace and love with faith. I think what he's saying is that it is the kind of peace and love that will come with true saving faith. We can see this through the book of Ephesians. It comes back to you, I'm certain. In chapter 2, verse 13, remember what he says? But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ, for he himself is our peace. They know this peace. Look at chapter 4. I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love. They already love one another. And then he says, preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. He puts love and peace together here in his letter. And what he's saying is that it would be ongoing, that it would move into the future with the peace and love that is coming with faith. It's not your own kind of peaceful moment, peaceful, easy feeling, as if you can find it within yourself. No, it's the peace. God himself, Christ himself is our peace. And our love is in him, a unity by the Spirit. It's not produced. It's not from our own efforts. How can you say that, Norm? Because look at the very next words. Where does it come from? From God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. What a prayer! What a wonderful thing for First Baptist on this day, coming up to our 135th anniversary. Would you pray this with me for First Baptist? That the peace and the love that comes only from God our Father and Jesus Christ would so captivate our hearts that we would be faithful ministers, that we would be beloved brothers and sisters. And then he ends with these simple words, grace be with all. Now, I was amazed this week as I realized for the first time that in every single one of Paul's 13 letters, he begins with grace and he ends with grace. He begins each of his 13 letters with grace to, and then he addresses those he's writing the letter to, and then he ends off with grace be with. It's his final words. It's like he said everything, and he wants to make sure that it's this ongoing grace, this ongoing work of God, long into the future. But there's something unique here in Ephesians. He specifically defines this grace uniquely in Ephesians like he does nowhere else. He's not saying grace to all in the world. He's saying grace be with all who love our Lord Jesus Christ. The book of James tells us he gives more grace. So there is saving grace, and then there's this ongoing even more grace. What a beautiful picture for us to love our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he defines it in the very last phrase with love incorruptible. He's not saying that there's like a partial love that eventually is going to get corroded over and rusted and then become corruptible. No, the idea here is it's a love that is eternal, that will never die. And the only way we can love the Lord Jesus like that is by his ongoing grace. What a blessing for us. As we move into our annual general meeting, I pray this very thing. That as you hear reports or as you have read the reports, that your heart would say, yes, this is my church. My beloved brothers and sisters, we want to be faithful in ministry. Thank God for what he's doing, that I can see what God is doing in the life of the church. And I pray that the peace and love that comes from true faith be amongst us as a church would be ongoing, it would grow, and that there would be grace for all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ with a love incorruptible. Let's pray. Father, we declare the words of both the book of James and Peter. You are opposed to the proud, but you give grace to the humble. We pray with great fervency and honesty, make us humble. Let us never say, by the work of my own hands, I have created these things. I pray that grace would be with all who love our Lord Jesus Christ. And by that very grace, you would produce an eternal, incorruptible love that we will stand before you. I'm so excited about reading the book of Revelation, our hope for eternity by your grace alone. We pray in Jesus' name. I invite you to stand as we close our service.